Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you've given us something greater than life, something greater than death, something greater than any trial or any hassle or any problem, something greater than our mental state, something far greater than our heart, something more solid than Mount Rushmore, the Rock of Gibraltar, or the Twin Towers. You've given us your word. This is your word we want to build our lives on, that we want to hold on to, that we want to embrace. Please, teach us your word that we might walk in your truth. Be a part of our study today, that our lives will be changed. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You know, I've talked about this before. I've gone over this type of study, but when you're doing a chapter like we're doing today, it's a virtual impossibility not to do the same type of study. And like the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians just a couple of weeks ago, for me to repeat myself, it's not tedious, but for you it's safe. The Word of God, in case you don't know, is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. It started before time began, and it will not cease. The Lord Jesus put it this way: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall by no means pass away. Amen? There are two types of words that you can receive. One is the Logos word, and the other is the Rhema word. The Logos word is rock solid. You can build your life upon it. One of my favorite Logos words that I believe God gave to me, and he gave to a lot of people: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now remember, being in the world and wondering, after I got saved, should I quit my job? Should I start to work in the church? And this word spoke to me so clearly. It's like, what if everybody had that thought? They got saved, and the first thing I want to do is just leave the world and go into work at a church or ministry or start going to Bible college. It's like, what would happen? It was my pastor who, speaking of his own story, was given the instruction to bloom where you're planted. The best of the best of the best of Christians don't quit their jobs to get a job in a church. That's American success thinking. The best of Christians stay where they are and transform where they are for the power of God. Amen? I am going to read to you today a chapter filled with some of the most amazing Logos words, that every one of them can become a Rhema word. Well, what's a Rhema word? A Rhema word is when you read a verse in the Bible that you can, you ready? Careful when I say this. You could take out of context, apply it to an area in your life where you're living right now, and it works, and it fits, and it's the Lord. Now, we often hear, oh, you can't take the Bible out of context. No, you can take it out of context. But what you shouldn't do is take it out of a context and apply it wrongly. Taking the Bible out of context is exactly what God wants you to do. Take it out of the context, put it in your heart, in your life, and live it as he tells you to. However, taking the Bible out of context can also be an extremely bad thing to do. For instance, let me explain to you this. God will never tell you to stop going to church. You hear me? The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, is as the manner of some, so much the more as we see the day approaching. The Bible says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment. We looked last week at false prophets, liars, people who heap up for themselves teachers, wanting to have their itching ears scratched. Tell me something. Tell me something. Tell me something. And oh, the merchants are ready. The charlatans have their pockets wide open, their hands sticking out, ready to tell somebody what they want to hear so they can become America's pastor. Oh, the popular, they have their words. It was this week, somebody sent me, maybe they sent it to you, a video of Francis Chan. Oh, so anointed. Talking about the new church. Talking about how now everything changes. Everything's different now. Francis Chan said, now that they've released and lifted some of these bans, do you want to go back to Egypt? Did he just refer to Egypt as the church? I'm glad you asked that question, and I shall not answer it for you. Francis Chan is a false prophet and a lying teacher. For in that same video, he proclaimed that because the Spirit of God is in him, and if you've ever heard Francis Chan, he talks like this, and the Spirit is in me, and I am like half God. What did you just say? He just said he's like God. Because the Spirit is in me. And here I am in Hong Kong. Close. At least I made him laugh. He's Chinese guy. So I think he's Chinese, Asian. He's some kind of Asian, huh? Hong Kongian? I don't know. What do you call some? Well, it's kind of separate. Yeah, they want to separate. Now, where he would get those words, because he speaks them passionately, because he speaks them with the anointing. God will never give you a word out of context that contradicts his Bible. Period. God did not bring you that man for you to marry him if he doesn't love the Lord Jesus. You brought that man to you. You're the one that went on the Christian Mingle. You're the one that clicked on the guy's face. You're the one that met him. And when you met him, you're the one that slept with him. Don't blame God for that. Sorry. You get kind of crazy about hearing that stuff. Now, that's not saying that God can't bless a mess, because God certainly blessed me and my wife, and we were a bloody mess. But why do you want to stop behind the eight ball? Why do you want to start your life with restoration? Why don't you start your life with blessing? Why do you want to start your life with a regeneration when you could start your life with holiness? The Apostle Paul, writing from a Roman prison, imprisoned by Caesar for the crime of loving the Lord Jesus and telling other people about him, figuring this would be the last time he'd be able to communicate with these Philippians, he closes out by giving them a few words of encouragement. And I recommend to you, with pen in hand, heart open, spirit filled with an anointing, as I read this to you, look for the bam. What's the bam? Did anybody ever see Emeril? Remember when Emeril was the big home? Bam! Bam! Bring it up a notch! Bam!
A little more spice!
Bam! Watch for the bam right now, because there's a couple of bams in here that have changed my life, and like not a little. So the Apostle Paul, again, writing to this church, the final chapter he writes to them, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Then he says something interesting, almost taking a left turn, and we're definitely worth planting here. "I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche, be of the same mind in the Lord." Now, what is he saying there? Listen to me. There was two women in this church that both loved God, but they couldn't stand each other. They were always fighting with each other. They had these different personalities. One was like, now, of course, I'm putting a little sanctified imagination in here, but stay with me, you'll understand why. One had like a type A personality and was super bold and obnoxious, and the other one was super passive aggressive. I mean, like ultra, never say nothing but roll eyes type of thing. And they couldn't get along with each other. So bad was it, they actually, the church wrote and asked Paul about it. They're like, "I don't know what to do with these two women. We have these two women in our church. They're both wonderful saints. They both serve God so faithfully. But all they do is fight with each other. It's creating a whole rift in the church. Well, she said this, and she said this, and then she didn't do this, and she didn't call me, and she took me off the chain, and she did this, and she..." You know that could happen? And when you go to a big church, it's easy. When you work in a big, when you go to a big church, you can say, "Hey, you know what? Go to heaven. I'll see you around." And you'll never see him around. You don't have to worry about it. Go to a different service. "I'll go to 8:30. You go to 12. I'll never have to worry about you again." When you go to a little church, though, "I told her I was going to cut the bagels, but were they cut when I got here? They were already cut. I told her I would pick up the food. Oh, no. But then when I picked up the food, she already picked up the food. Oh, no." The Apostle Paul said, "Girls, be of the same mind." Why am I going here? Because I want you to know that these are what the Bible calls, this is what the enemy does. They're called the little foxes that spoil the vine. Worry about the stupid little crap that don't mean nothing, that get in the way of ministry, that get in the way of unity, that get in the way of love. Forget about it, guys. Forget about it. "Well, what am I supposed to do if he said this to me or she said this to me?" Okay, listen. If you're that offended by what he said, what she said, then do what the Lord Jesus said. Go to your brother, go to your sister, one-on-one, and if they hear you, you gain a brother, you gain a sister. And if they don't hear you, go to them with somebody else. And if they still don't hear you and somebody else, bring it to me. We'll fix it. "Well, I did the first one." Then why didn't you do the second one? I didn't want to. That's not the way it works. When you do the first one, you got to do the second one. "Well, I guess I shouldn't have done the first one." Amen to that. What's the Bible say about that? The Bible says this: it's the glory of man to overlook a transgression. How about this? Forget about it, as we say in the neighborhood. Forget about it. "Well, she did this." Forget about it. "But he did that." Forget about it. "No, but you don't understand." "No, I do understand." Forget about it. I hope that's for somebody in here, because that's happened to be where we are. Verse 3, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." You see, I didn't just surmise that statement, that phrase. He was saying to them, please, somebody help these poor women. They're making their own lives miserable. Do you know how many people I know that are part of a good church where people love them and they make themselves miserable? They feel themselves. In Italian, we got a word, it's called agita. This girl gives me agita. Agita all the time. She puts a bad taste in my mouth. She upsets my stomach. Like, let it go. Forget it. Don't let stupid things. We got bigger fish to fry, as we used to say. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Who cares? People are dying and going to hell. There's ministry to be made. We got little kids that need to be talked to. Come on. Let it go, girls. That's what Apostle Paul was saying anyway. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, I'm saying that. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Oh. Did anybody hear that? Bam! Did I wake you up? That might be the first one for somebody here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You know who that might be for? That might be a rhema word for somebody who is going through some nasty financial stuff right now. And they don't know what to do about it, man. It just, it eats at them. 3 o'clock in the morning, they're waking up, and how am I going to pay my bills? And you know what the Lord says? Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. What's rejoice mean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm broken and broke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that going to help somebody? According to the Lord, it will. Is that enough? Maybe. This next one's your bam. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, that ain't for me. Although I confess, that was my bam a long time ago. Like, my wife has a nickname for me. Well, the nickname that I can tell you about. She calls me caveman. You're going to be a caveman your whole life, Ryan Gitman? And then I remember reading through the book of Philippians, I don't know, one time, it's got to be more than 10 years ago, said, let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I just turned around. I remember reading, I hate that girl. Not you, God. I don't hate her. I hate me. I hate me. It's me I hate. Okay, I'll be gentle. No. I'll be gentle. Some of us need that. You guys know, and my wife would tell me this quite often, gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. You know what it says? You know what that means? The Lord is at hand. Let me tell you what that means. The early church, there was the first church, the apostles, literally after the Lord left, believed that he was coming back like before they were going to die. They believed the Lord was going to come back like immediately. Like, I'm leaving, see you in a few minutes. He rose up, and they were on the mount, and if you look at the first chapter of Acts, they're like, here he goes. Well, he's coming back soon. Yeah, how soon? Soon. That's what that word means, like coming back, like soon, like how soon? Soon. And there was that rumor that before the last apostle would die, the Lord would return. And I so believe that that's a setup from the Lord. I believe the same as my pastor, my senior pastor, Chuck Smith, that the Lord's return is imminent. And the way you break that word down is in a minute. How will you live if you believe wholeheartedly that his return is imminent, in a minute, soon, like soon? You will live holy. Like, if you're getting raptured, you know, what are you going to be doing when you get raptured? Like, hopefully you don't want to be doing something nasty. Imagine, like, if the rapture is like a phase shift. Like, you're doing something, and all of a sudden, hey, hi. Hi. If we live like that, I think I'm going to be a little more gentle. if I believe that and I live like that. I'm working on it. Man, I'm working on it. And I'm so glad that God's working on me as I work on it. Amen to that one. Then there's verse 6, which is right. See, what's great about this chapter is I would, my wife would kind of make me think that God was giving me a rhema word with 5, and I'd know that God's given her a rhema word with 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Especially in this time. Now, because my verse was the one right before it, I was the one who really didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for people that are anxiety-ridden. I was brought up in a very emotional and aggressive home, and my father was a man's man, and he raised us to be men's men. And I didn't really have any patience or any heart for anybody who was anxiety-ridden. It's like, you know what? Suck it up, buttercup. I really don't care. But I'm afraid. And it was about 3 years ago. My son was wrestling in Oklahoma. And I was getting on a plane in Houston. And I had what later I found out to be a panic attack. I don't get panic attacks. Panic attacks get me. You understand? When a panic attack freaks out, it thinks about me. That started about a week's worth of freakouts for me, where I literally thought my mind was broken. I thought my life was over. I called my wife from Oklahoma, and I told her, basically, our life's over because there's no way I can function like this. I called my brother Matt because I know he could relate to me, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm broken. I can't think. I can't function. I'm having homicidal and suicidal thoughts at the same time. I'm afraid to. The sun's going down, and I'm going to be trapped in a car, and I woke up in the middle of the night in the hotel, and the room was really dark, and I didn't know where's the window. If you don't understand what I'm saying, all right. But if you know what I'm saying, I'm with you. Now. And I apologize to you for not being with you earlier than that. Because my stupid, prideful arrogance, my testosterone overladen body and mind didn't have sympathy for you. And if you were on medication, I would just lambast you. Throw that stuff away. All you need is the Lord. Foolishly, I gave my opinion on something I knew nothing of. Now I know. Now, I also learned a lot of the physiological aspect of panic attacks, the psychological aspect of it. I know when and what is balance and imbalance chemically. I know how to fight it and overcome it with logical medicine and logical discipline. You hear that? Logical medicine and logical discipline. Now, personally, I never did the medicine. I didn't get to that point. But I no longer belittle those that need medication. Somebody who cracks a half a Xanax to get on a plane, I'm not gonna sit in judgment of that person anymore. And I did, and I'm sorry. But let me tell you step one to any panic attack, to anybody who freaks out, anybody who loses control of their thought process, it's right here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God not a peace of God, but the peace of God, which surpasses, which transcends, which goes beyond any understanding of your circumstances, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You guys with me? Step one. Now, if I am describing you, and right now you're like, dude, I really need to hear more about what you went through and how you overcome it, see me afterward, please. Both myself and my wife are very well studied, and I will tell you this. There was a spiritual attack on me back then, a physical attack on me back then, and an emotional attack on me back then. And all those three things came into play. And since then, it took about 2.5, 3 years, God has delivered me. He has. I've been on 6 planes, no problem. I've had no panic attacks since then. And I believe that it was ordained by God so that I could help others. And I want to do that. So please see me afterward if you're like, I need to know more. Okay? Myself and my wife will help you through that. We know exactly what you're going through, and we know exactly what to tell you to do. But here's the thing. If you don't talk to anybody about your anxieties, you're doing exactly what the devil wants you to do, and you will be rendered useless, a very big word called feckless, without power, without effect, and then you'll be there for the rest of your life. This is something you must attack head on. It don't go away. You hear me? Amen? Yes? How do I feel about it? I feel great about it. I'll miss you. I can't wait for you to get back. Come on home. Let them quarantine themselves. See, I got a better idea. Just stay away from me. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I will tell you something about this verse. This is one of my life verses. However, I want you to know this. I cannot memorize this verse to save my life. I don't know what it is about this verse. If you've ever prayed with me, if you've ever sat with me, I have like a mimeographic memory. I can memorize books of the Bible. I can't memorize this verse. I've written it down on index cards. I don't know what it is about this verse. I cannot memorize it, which is letting me think this is the verse that God really wants me to memorize. Because this is what I am guilty of more than anything else in this verse. I always think of the worst stuff. I always think the worst of people. I always think there's horrible things. I always think of the worst. Like, I could be climbing a ladder, going to change a light bulb in the house or something like that, and halfway up the ladder, I'm already having a vision of falling off on my head, breaking my neck, dying, renting chairs for the funeral. It's the craziest thing. My brain takes me down trails. I'm telling you, like, I have to sometimes, I think it's like a movie where it's like, and like in 20 seconds, I see myself speaking at my own funeral. And I'm like, oh, welcome back. What? How did that happen? Like, I get a phone call and I don't recognize the number. And I'm sure it's like my wife's boyfriend. And he's going to, and then I'm going to have to kill her. And then I'm going to get arrested. And then my kids are not going to have, but they can go live with Austin and Elaine, or maybe Drew will take, and then they're going to grow up and be like, oh, I got to visit my dad. Why? Because he killed my mother. And
is this on the ladder too?
That's on step three. You guys with me? Right, you guys, some of you guys are laughing, but are you laughing because, like, yeah, that's me too. Just real quick, show of hands. Okay, I'm not alone. Whew. This verse is for you. This is your logos and rhema word. Can I read that over you again? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And then the Apostle Paul bragging, of course, you know, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Well, I guess it's nice being the Apostle Paul, isn't it? These do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Please give me your attention real quick as we're going to breeze through the rest of this, but I could necessarily stop there and say, let's do the rest of this chapter next week and do a whole teaching on tithing, because that's what is probably the best message. But given the fact that we're going through logos and rhema words, let's continue. Let's breeze through this. And you know what? Tithing will set you free. That's all I'm going to say, okay? So continuing, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Now, that word for abased, the technical or literal translation of that word means mere human. I've learned how to just be a person. Not a rich man, not a poor. I learned how to just be. And I learned how to abound. That word for abound, basically stupid rich. Like I've had a pantry full and a pantry with nothing. I've been a fat cat and a skinny cat. That's what he's telling them. He's telling them that in different parts of my... In preparation for this morning, I was looking up at the sky this morning about 6:30, and I said, God, I come from... In 1988, I moved down to Florida. I drove my 1973 Monte Carlo here, and I was homeless. I had nothing. I slept on people's couches. I slept in my car sometimes. And here I look it out on my property. I own 5 acres of land. I have a beautiful house. I have a pool. How did that happen? I hate the water. And you know what? I can so relate to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Let me tell you why. Because I've had nothing without God, and it was freaking misery. And then I've had nothing with God, and it wasn't so bad. I've had a lot without God, and it was freaking misery. And I got a lot with God, and I am so blessed. So I looked over at the horizon, hopefully speaking to God, and I said, God, you know what? I don't care what you take from me. Just don't ever let anything get in the way of our relationship. I don't care. Because I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And the only thing I really care about is not having God in my life. So just as long as you're with me, Lord, I don't care where I'm at. Now, some of you guys will say, well, it's easy for you to say because you got all that stuff. Yeah, but I said that when I didn't have all that stuff. I said that when I didn't have nothing. Don't come from money, guys. You know, you ever hear that song, Shaft? Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. When he died, all he left us was a loan. All right? That's it. both to abound and to suffer need, the latter part of verse 12. And look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bam! Bam! Listen, why is this both a logos and a rhema word? Well, it's a logos word because the Apostle Paul was saying, I got a lot, had a little, and I've learned how to live in both. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. But you can apply this verse to any area. Kevin, next time you get in a cage, you could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'm going to whoop on my opponent. And that would be a great application, although taken out of context. And it would not be, you ready, bastardizing the text. It wouldn't be taking the heart of the word out of it. And that's so important. That's what I was talking about. Just because somebody's a sweet talker and they take something out of context, don't buy it. But just because someone's not a real good speaker and they give you a word that don't might sound good, listen, let the Spirit move it. You can do all things through Christ. That's one of the verses I've been praying. Josiah, that was Josiah's favorite verse, my son. And that's one of the verses I've been praying for years over Cammie Joy. I want her to know that there is no ceiling in her life. Every single day I pray for Cammie Joy, and I say, God, may she always know she can do all things through you who gives her strength. No ceiling. No ceiling. I want many daughters have done well, but you shall excel them all. I want her to know she can have a vet clinic for exotic animals. Let her believe that every dream can come true. Let her believe she can do all things through Christ who strengthens her. You follow what I'm saying? Now you see how that logos and rhema word flows together, how taking it out of context yet still applying it properly can work. Please don't misunderstand when I say taking something out of context is good. It's not if you're applying it poorly. But if you take it out of the context, out of the context, and apply it well, it's a rhema word. And that's why people who don't believe in the movement of the Spirit don't like rhema. Oh, there's no such thing as a rhema word. No, there is. And perhaps there's somebody in here right now. And all these verses that I've just given you, that was yours. And you're going through just the toughest time ever. And I say to you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Like, that's my word. That's what I've been waiting for. Continuing. Right smack dab in the middle of that rap that, I didn't say crap, I said rap that Paul was doing. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Please give me your attention. Super, super important. So hard in this day and age. In this day and age of pastors and preachers and faith healers and evangelists who have one hand out and one pocket open, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I don't need nothing from nobody. I've learned how to have a lot, and I've learned how to have a little. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't want you to tithe or send me money for me. I don't need anything. You know what I want? I want God to look at the gift that you gave me and bless you because of it. Do you know how hard that is for me? You know how hard that is for a pastor to say that? I can walk back and go, listen, I hope that in this church everybody tithes, gives 10% of their overall income to the work of God. Give it here, give it to another church. I beg of you to do that. You know why I want you to do that? And it ain't because of my salary, because y'all don't pay my salary. Believe me when I tell you, the bookkeeper's sitting there. This church don't give me anywhere near the amount of money that I give it. Ain't even close. Church is a net negative financially for me. You with me? But I want you to give, because the only thing that has set me and my wife free from poverty, from need, from lack, is tithing. God's merciful faithfulness. When he says in Malachi chapter 3, if you will give me to the church, if you will bring 10% of your increase to the Lord, I will open up a window for you so big you won't have enough room in your house to hold it. And most of you, now, just keep this in mind. I have no idea who tithes what. I'm not involved in the collecting of it. I mean, sometimes if somebody asks the church for money, I'll ask Julia, say, hey, is this people faithful tithers? Or, I mean, what's the story there with them? You know, but for 99%, I don't know, have any idea who gives what or when. Don't. So don't look at me like, oh, my goodness, he's talking to me. God's talking to you. If you're not tithing and you're struggling financially, you're not struggling financially because you're struggling financially. You're struggling financially because you're not tithing. And if you tithe faithfully, believe me when I tell you, you won't struggle financially. I've never met anybody who is a faithful tither that struggles. Man, I just can't. I give God money every week, but man, he just refused to give it back. Never, ever, ever going to happen. Now, we've had seasons. Now, me and my wife went through a really, really hard season after the hurricanes about 10 years ago, where we were upside down in everything. Although we still owned a house, we owed more on it than it was worth. And you guys know that from the bad time we had in Florida. We had no money coming in. The business was pretty much done. And a matter of fact, at one point, the board of my church, Pastor Jim Coy, at the time it was a guy named Gus Flores, they said, listen, if you don't start taking more money from the church, we're going to leave your board because you're a bad witness. You're broke, son, you're broke. You got to take money. I was like, oh, hated my life. But I was still faithfully tithing every single week. So what was God doing? Let me tell you what he was doing. He was pulling the rubber band of financial blessings in my life back. And he had all that tithe money, all that blessing in it. And in one fell swoop, in the course of about 16 months, he went, poof. Property values shot back up again. Business turned around. And we had more than we ever imagined. And we just looked at each other and went, you know, God is a debtor to no man. God owes me nothing. You can't outgive God. Now, why do I say this? Because we need a new church building? Apparently not. Because, I'll read it to you out of the Word. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, and I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You ready for the next bam? And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Bam! Bam! God shall supply. Now, notice it didn't say God shall supply all of your greed or wants or desires, all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. I love about that. Keep in mind that he was arrested. He was being held in a prison in Caesar's basement. But he was like, I'm converting everybody in Caesar's household, and they all send their best to you guys. Love that. That's just a little bit of a wow right there. And then lastly, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And I pray by the power of your Spirit that this powerful, powerful chapter laid upon the hearts of your people, God, was received in Rhema and Logos, is received in power and love, is received to change lives and to confirm lives that you are more than we ever need. And you're all that we ever want. Thank you, God, for your word. Bless our lives with your word, and may we be bold about it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.